Hey, it's Dean Blundell. I'm here with my friend at Greg Carrasco on Twitter from Thornhill Hyundai. Good morning, Greg, and how are you today?
I am very well. Thank you, Dean. It's been a while.
It's been so long. You've moved. I've moved. You've moved.
That's what we do.
We're movers.
And shakers.
What do you got going on at Thornhill Hyundai?
We are changing the world.
One car at a time.
One customer at a time.
Now, here's the thing, though. You have no salespeople, which traditionally is bad for the car industry, is that not?
Everybody hates car salespeople, so why fill the showroom with them?
No salespeople. And you meet my friend Greg Carrasco at
Thornhill Hyundai.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hi, welcome. It is Thursday, the 26th day of May, 17 degrees. All is well. Unless, of course, you play for the Toronto Raptors or you flew down and spent good dime for those courtside seats. They lose by 38 yesterday, 116-78. That's all good. It's all right. It's okay. Still in it to win it. You got a game six here tomorrow night, so don't sweat it. It's going to be fine. Here's the opening. Didn't compete, got out-hustled, all that stuff. We'll check in with Doug Gottlieb from CBS Sports Radio coming up in about 15 minutes about his thoughts on the game. I did his show last week, so this is Ozzie's.
Wow.
And he's going to join us coming up in just a few minutes. Smart guy, long history in basketball, heck of a broadcaster. And his first question he asked me was prior to the, I think they were down 0-2 at that point. He's like, do you think this is even a series? I'm like, I guess.
Look at you. Doing your foray into America and sports stuff. No, that show, Amy Lawrence's show you were on before our show. Hey, look at you.
However, I will say this. Mm-hmm. Is if you watched the game last night and you had no hope, there is hope because they lost the first two by 50. They lost yesterday by 38. Collectively, 29 points in each one of those losses down there. They come up here, they're unbeatable because of you people. So...
Right.
Let's get to it and get happy and get hopeful. They're still in this thing. It's 3-2. There's still a series to be had. Dwayne Casey said it the whole time. DeMar and Kyle said it the whole time. Tough game. They're either red hot or they're not. They weren't yesterday, so expect good stuff. We'll get to that coming up with Doug Gottlieb. Jays win two. All that good stuff. Here's George with an update. Hey, George.
Hey, Dean. And this playoff update is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. LeBron James had 23 to power the Cavaliers to a massive 116-78 win over the Raptors in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final. The Cavs have a 3-2 series lead with Game 6 tomorrow night, 8:30 down at the ACC.
And may I ask, I just wanted to pass this along too. We're going to take your phone calls as to what that loss did. Do you still believe? And there's this little rumor that kind of was floating around too. And it's a story in a local newspaper that Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph were out on the town the night before till early in the morning. Now, I think it's a bit of a story. However, I don't think it's a reason for the loss, and neither did Alvin Williams. It's kind of what guys do. They're grown men. They are masters of their own destiny at 1 o'clock in the morning. If that's what they want to do, that's what they do. They want to do a shoot-around just like Kyle and DeMar did. That's fine. But we want to hear from you. Are you disappointed? Do you care? Is it even a story? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone.
And Dean, Russell Martin, by the way, hit two dingers, his first of the season. And Michael Saunders also went deep. Blue Jays thumped the Yankees 8-4 in the Bronx last night. It's the first time ever two Canadians have went deep for the Blue Jays in the same game. Devin Travis also made his season debut. Troy Tulowitzki was on the shelf. He's a little banged up. Travis was 1-for-4, hitting in the eighth spot. Blue Jays gun for the series win this afternoon with J-Hap on the mound. Check the time. 4 o'clock right here, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the Sportsnet app. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The Sharks off to the Stanley Cup final for the first time ever. They beat the Blues in Game 6 of the West Final last night, 5-2. We got a Game 7 between the Penguins and Lightning. That goes down from Pittsburgh, 8 o'clock on the CBC. And the Marlies were absolutely thumped at RICO by Hershey, 8-2. They're now down 0-3 in the AHL's Eastern Conference Final.
Thank you, sir. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. Report that came out this morning, a news story in a local paper that said Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph were out late at a casino, not last night, the night before last. ahead of their game five against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Final. Now, you can look at this one of two ways. Hey, look, these guys are grown men. They can do what they want. This is how they let off steam. Maybe this is part of the routine. We just had Alvin Williams on, who indeed echoed that sentiment. Or you can look at it from a perspective of, hey, listen, these guys had a job to do. And if you got a job to do, you should be all about that job. You shouldn't leave your hotel room. We want to hear from you. Do you think it's a factor? Do you think this is even a story? I don't think it is. I think it's a neat little story. I think it's a story that people write to sell newspapers, and rightfully so. If that's your job, you're going to try and find an inflammatory part of this. It has nothing to do with the loss itself, because the loss itself is just a huge bummer to write about. And there's nothing to really break down other than you just got pounded and you didn't compete. So you look for a tertiary story. You look for something of other interest. And of other interest would be, hey, these two guys, Damari Carroll, one of your starters and probably your best reserve, came off. Did they look terrible? Did it matter? Because I can guarantee you, they weren't the reason that the Raptors lost that game. And so you can point to the fact that the entire team didn't play well. Everybody was bad yesterday.
And you cite Alvin Williams, and even he said the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan, used to go out all night, party his ass off, and then go drop how many points in a playoff game and just be an absolute killer. Because that's what some guys want to do. That's part of their routine. They need to go out. They can't stay in the hotel room, which is fine. And I don't think this story gets written if the Raptors win a game six last night or a game five last night.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, is it a bad look? Should they have stayed in their rooms? Yeah, probably.
But how can you guarantee that they're not doing something till 2 a.m. in their room?
You can't. If they're crushing vodka sevens down at the hotel bar till 2 a.m., that's okay because they're still at the hotel?
And I liken it to this. You can draw a straight line between what Kyle and DeMar did after a couple of their games, one against Miami and DeMar won against when LeBron James was going to guard him in game three, and he came out like a gangbuster. Those guys were out till at least what? They were shooting hoops till 1 o'clock in the morning, sitting around kibitzing, talking. He and Kyle. That means you're not getting home till 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's an issue here of routine. These games don't start till 8:30. They're not over till 10:30, 11. After post game, you're not out of there till 12. So if that's what happens on game day, you're in a different city. Your routine is to stay up till a certain time and you want to go play cards. What's the difference between cards or going to the world's biggest bookstore and having a read in the corner? Or going to Starbucks for one of them delicious raisin scones? Or is it scone?
Never heard scones.
416-870-0590, 888-660-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Jason in Orangeville, good morning.
Good morning. I love the show, guys.
Thanks, man.
Listen, I don't care what you guys do on your free time as far as the players go. My problem is, if it affected the way you played, then I got a problem with it. Like was said earlier, Michael Jordan used to do that all the time. Heck, there's people out there that think that the reason Michael Jordan retired from basketball for a year was because he got suspended for his shenanigans and gambling. But he at least performed. Like, you see Scottie Pippen dragging him off the court, he still performed. Mm-hmm. Who cares? I don't care what you do with your personal time. My problem is, if it affected the way you play, I got a problem with it.
Well, so then you could take that argument, too, and I completely agree with it. And it's funny how everybody uses Michael Jordan as the gold standard. Did Michael Jordan flop like LeBron James? Did Michael Jordan gamble like Damari Carroll?
Listen, if Michael Jordan played basketball in today's era, where we have got all these smartphones and all these devices that you can instantly put on the internet, on whatever social media, what he did after games, Michael Jordan would not have the same reputation that he has.
And I would venture a guess to say Michael Jordan would have been married way less.
Exactly. But who cared? He was the greatest player of all time. Do whatever you want. I don't care. You performed on the court.
And yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the call. Absolutely. Great point. And it's like anybody's job, right? Listen, you do whatever you want to do in your spare time. As long as you're here from 9 to 5 and you meet your numbers, you do your job. The problem was, that nobody met their numbers. So then you start asking the question, well, what did everybody else do yesterday? DeMar had 14 points. Kyle had 13 points. Bismack had 4 rebounds. Where was Bismack last night? Then you start asking those questions, too. And I think it's unfair. I think, you know, is it a story? Sure. And like I said, because you got to have something to write about. Everybody's going to talk about how you got spanked and no one wants to dwell on it. So you find a different wrinkle, and I get that. But it's not the reason they lost. It's not the reason you lose your reputation. It's interesting.
Absolutely it is. If those two guys were down at Fallsview tickling the felt, playing some blackjack after game 3, and then they win in game 4, is this story written? Of course it's not.
Steve in Newmarket, good morning.
Good morning. I wonder if this is more about the whole issue and stance of the NBA on gambling. If you go back to when the Raptors got granted a franchise, they had to meet with the Premier of Ontario to get the NBA off pro line. So you wonder, is this more to do with the fact that these guys were in the casino doing some form of gambling, and the NBA's supposed to tough stance that they've always had on gambling?
No. I would venture, I guess, to say no, because, you know, Commissioner Silver has been very, very open about the fact that gambling is going to be and should be a part of the NBA. Not with its players, but I tell you what, the gambling industry is so enormous, no one can look sideways. You look at the NFL, they're going to put a team in Vegas, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And that was unthinkable 5 years ago. And so, you know, that I don't think is the issue. I think the issue is, like I said, you know, someone wants to look for some type of outside reason. Someone wants to pick off some type of, you know, issue that really shouldn't be an issue, but might be an issue to them and might help them get noticed and sell news. And like I said, geez, good. That's exactly what that's there for. That's exactly why you write stories. Being inflammatory is part of the media business. That's how people get paid. People get paid by shaking the tree a little bit and seeing what falls and saying, look at everybody, I shook the tree. And you know what? We're all part and party to that.
Stephen A. Smith isn't a millionaire for sitting on the fence, right?
Absolutely.
Right. It's his hairline why he's a millionaire.
Where does that thing start, by the way?
Where does it end?
You just can't keep your eyes off it.
Colin in Oakville, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. Did you just say Stephen Smith came out and said something about them being late? I just missed that part.
No. There's an article in the Toronto Sun that spoke to the fact that Damari Carroll and Ja'Cory Joseph were out late last night and opined that maybe their reputation is going to take a beating and it might have been the reason why they lost that game. And I would suggest that absolutely no reason why they lost that game. It's a complete, you know, is it a story? I guess a little bit. It's a non-story to me and a non-factor to me when everybody played poorly. Everybody wasn't at the casino until 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at those guys, you cannot question either one of their commitment to that team. I mean, those guys are, you look at shots that Damari Carroll's able to drop. You look at shots that Joseph's able to drop. Those guys spend time in the gym. They know how to prepare. And you guys made a great point about schedules. I mean, they're probably not getting up at 8 a.m. on game day, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So, I mean, yeah, I understand we have to have something to talk about after that terrible game last night. But I think those guys have proven high commitment to the program. And, you know, I think to question them in that regard is a little bit, I don't know if it's unfair, but it's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But no one, but you know what? People don't get paid to write really wonderful things. You know, you won't read an op-ed about how terrific no one's going to write about how unbelievably dynamic Kyle and DeMar have been at home in elimination games. So don't worry, everybody. Things are going to be just fine.
Right, but this,
when someone sees the words late night, casino, Corey Joseph, Damari Carroll, they click.
And
they click on the link. They make it bigger. They share the story online. They don't buy the newspapers because no one buys newspapers anymore. But in the social world where this information comes from is probably people on Twitter that made certain people aware of it, and it gets shared and it goes viral. And then all of a sudden it's a story. And then they put that out there because it goes, this is going to get clicks. This is going to get people to drive people to me, drive people to my website. And hey, you can have personal thoughts on what the story was, who wrote it, whatever the situation was. The bottom line is, as objective as I can be, and it's difficult for me in this situation, but being completely objective, it's exactly why people are in sports media. It's exactly why people are in media. That's why TMZ is so enormous. TMZ doesn't do stories on, well, we found Dwayne The Rock Johnson feeding the homeless this weekend. What a nice guy. No, they do stories on Mariah Carey was making out with another woman after her dinner down at Nobu.
That sounds like an awesome story.
I got to tell you.
I'm going to click on that story.
And when that link says NSFW, I'm clicking. We just did a story in the Fail of the Day about this guy in Thailand that had a very tender area of his body bit by a python, and it said we didn't have the other picture in the top of the story because it was too weird for life. Couldn't figure this one out. And I'm like, well, now you know what I'm doing. I'm clicking. And sure enough, there's the snake, there's the lavatory, there's the rope. Thank God the man was freed and he's, quote, in good spirits. But they're not going to write happy stories about how Coach Casey's upbeat going home. Jazz hands, everybody. They're not doing that.
Spirit fingers.
And like I said, I may have an issue with it and the content and where it comes from, but I don't have an issue with the fact that in media, your job is to drive people. And what are we doing? Taking calls on it. And rightfully so. 8:17. This hour is brought to you by Jack Link's Hangry Moments. Don't be hangry. Reach for a bag of Jack Link's beef jerky and feed your wild side. Great pleasure to welcome to the program CBS Sports Radio's Doug Gottlieb, ladies and gentlemen, from the Doug Gottlieb Show. Hi, Doug.
So the guy was going number two, and a python bit him in the man area?
Yep.
That's a real story?
Yeah, absolutely.
A four-meter python.
What's your... Okay, so we read it earlier.
Hold on. Oh, where is that? Vietnam? Is that what you said?
No, Thailand.
And crossing off Thailand is places to ever visit.
Well, no, you can visit. I wouldn't suggest you sit to go to the washroom.
Well, I mean, what do you do when you got to go? You stand?
Hover.
You do hover a lot of places anyway.
Yeah.
Although I always find it interesting that people who are doing their business in that sort are worried about the germs when the germs are coming out of them. But... regardless of which. I would have clicked on that. Not going to lie to you.
See? Yeah. When you see NSFW, what do you do? What's the first thing you do?
What does NSFW mean?
Not safe for work.
Not safe for work? Is that what it means?
Yeah. What do? You click.
I do click on it. I do. I'm that guy. I'm also that guy, though. Like, when Paul George broke his leg, I couldn't get enough of watching.
Oh, God.
It didn't make me feel any... like less bad. Like I felt bad for Paul George.
Yeah.
But I've determined, and everybody's one type one, two, or three.
Yeah.
Type one is I don't ever want to see it. Just you want to tell me about it, fine. I just cringe at the thought.
Let's not talk about it either.
Type two is I want to see it once.
Yep.
Just once so that I can catalog it. Okay, I know what people are talking about. And then there's type three, which is oh come on, I gotta see that again. You know?
I can't get enough of this.
Yeah.
You can't unsee that injury either.
Well, and there's a college one, too, that happened a few years ago. And he was a good story because he came back and played in the NCAA tournament after it, like the bone literally came out of his leg and you saw it. And it's forever etched in my memory.
Yes. It's the kid from Louisville and he transferred from Louisville and he went to Georgia State.
Yeah, that's the one.
That was Gus. There was actually guys throwing up on the bench. I mean, that was the part of the video that's the best part of the video. It's like, because at first we didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then when we did see it, you're like, oh, and then you look and guys are actually puking on the bench. You're like,
they're heaving. Yeah, I remember that. And people turn around crying. People were crying. It's a bad injury when your buddies start crying.
Doug, is the compound fracture the Cadillac of sports injuries?
It's up
yes,
there.
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. I definitely think it is. I think the thing about
the Cadillac of sports injuries.
Great, that's a classic. It's like from Get Shorty, you know, the Cadillac of minivan. I love when people watch an injury on TV, and there's a couple of these doctors that are on Twitter, like, oh, that's a torn MCL, not ACL, because like, dude, seriously, is that how you diagnose people from watching it on TV? And sometimes they're right, but it's a total shot in the dark. So. Yes, I mean, I can't get enough. Thankfully, I've never had a compound fracture, nor has anybody I know had one.
Yeah.
And then when you back it up, and then when you see the x-rays, you're like, oh, man, that was just as bad as it looked. That's awesome. I got to go back.
The bone out of the skin is one thing. The x-rays totally, that really sets it off. Speaking of gross, Raptors lose last night in a big way. You and I talked about it last week. Is this a series? Thought it was. Hard to believe it's a series in anybody's arena, though. You know, you go to Cleveland, you get pumped every game by an average of 28, 29 points, and in Toronto, less of an average, but still a dominating performances at home from either team. And then one story came out, it just came out this morning. I want to get your opinion. Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph apparently out late, until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning playing cards, not gallivanting, no rumors of doing anything untoward, but just at a casino. Does this happen a lot when guys go on the road in the NBA?
No, I'll be honest. I didn't play in the NBA. I played in Russia, in France, in Israel. And in Russia, there's a casino in every town. And I played with the other American, was a guy named Willie Burton. And Willie was a recovering alcoholic. And so he would actually give me money and say, hey, come gamble with me, you know, so you can hang out. Because I can't, like, he's one of those guys that couldn't sleep. And it was just like that NBA lifestyle is – Your body clock is different. But the guys I know in the league, yeah, not every guy goes out. Not every guy stays in. I do think it's a story, though, if they don't play well. And those are two, especially Corey, those are two younger cats. You know, it's like, now, having hung out with Charles Barkley and done college basketball stuff with him, I mean, his working belief is he doesn't know a guy that can really play that needs sleep. But again, that's him and Michael Jordan. That's what they used to do. But they were also Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan. I've always been a milk and cookies guy. You know, I need to get to bed at 10 o'clock. I may struggle to sleep, but I'm much better when I'm in my bed at 10. Maybe even if I'm binge watching now, shows or back then, you know, you're watching Law and Orders on repeat.
Yeah.
You have to know yourself. And I would hope that that's how those guys feel like they're at their best. That's the big thing. It's like, you can do it.
That they need that's part of their routine. That's what they do normally to get their mind off a big game, whatever the situation is, right?
Like Gary Payton was famous for, he'd put down his last beer, he'd go back, take a nap, go to shoot around, come back, sleep all day, come out and give you 20 and 10, right? But, you know, that's what, and then when Vin Baker went to Seattle, many people believe that's what led Vin Baker to become an alcoholic, because because Gary Payton was the leader of the team. They're like, hey, saddle up with Gary Payton. He's our leader. Do what he does. And so he just hung out with Gary Payton. Like, not everybody can do that. So, yeah, you got to know yourself, man. And this is the big boy world. You're in the playoffs. So to me, yeah, I do think it's a big deal. I do think it's a mistake, just because if you're going to err on the side of caution, give your body every possible chance to rest. You played 82 games. Now you're up on, you know, you're creeping up on 100 games at a very high level against a team that's better than you. But I don't think it's the end of the world, especially if these are two guys that's their routine.
Doug Gottlieb from CBS Sports Radio in New York joins us. We're talking about, of course, Corey Joseph, Damari Carroll, apparently out late last night. They lose by 38 coming home for game six. If it's Norman Powell and Bebe Nuguera, is this story a story?
No.
If they win, is this a story?
It's a little bit of a story. It's like, all right, I mean, it buys you, again, like, if you do that and you get caught and you're out, you better play well, right? If you're, and remember, if
but
you're
Doug,
out,
they're not,
you know,
see, this is the thing, Doug, they're not, you know, they're, apparently they weren't out drinking, they were out playing cards. They weren't, you know, they weren't doing lines of blow. They were out playing cards. So what's the difference between
They weren't going full Manziel, is what you're saying? I believe that's from a movie, right? Never go full Manziel.
Yeah, it's
right.
Never go full something else, and it's Tropic Thunder, yeah. But maybe one of the greatest movies ever. But yeah, never go full Manziel. So these guys weren't going full Manziel. They were just going like a quarter Jordan and only till like 1 o'clock in the morning. So what's the difference between that and Lowry?
You're out playing cards at 1 o'clock. You're not staying at the casino. Okay, if whenever you wrap it up, even if you wrap it up at 1:30, you get back at 2 o'clock. You don't go to sleep. I mean, I'm somebody, I can go to sleep as soon as I hit the pillow. But you know, again, I don't care. But you got to play better than you played last night.
I guess
Cause,
so.
Because now guys start looking around. I mean, look, this is one of the things that led to James Harden being traded from Oklahoma City. And I had Scott Brooks on my show, and he told me he disagreed with the idea of trading James Harden. But one of the things that ticked off management was here they were losing in the NBA Finals. He wasn't playing well, and he kept going out in Miami. And they're like, you know, hey, man, how many times are you going to get to the NBA Finals? The answer to this point is once in his life, you want to give your put your best foot forward. So not a huge deal, but there is the hey, you got to be mature enough to handle this and understand, you know, you can't let – was it sore with the Eagles or you hoot with the Gals?
Appreciate you doing this, Doug. Thanks so much for taking time with us today.
Yeah, just quick question.
Yeah.
So if you're going to fire your head coach if he loses to Indy, and then yeah. You kind of surprise you get by on a blown call, whatever. And I mean, did something change? I mean, that's really the thing. Did something change in winning these last the two games at home?
I would say I'm not, you know, beggars can't be choosers, so I'm not going to debate that question. And I think Dwayne Casey, you know, I think people write stories to have them read, right? So whether or not they're true or not isn't up to me to decide. I would tend to believe Zach Lowe, who wrote that story. However, I will say this, it's an Eastern Conference final, and those questions are good questions, but I don't have an answer for you. How's that?
Can I give you my thought real quick?
Sure.
I know you gotta go. It's a lot of times after the fact, people will say things as if they were going to happen, and it may have been a part of a discussion, but it's not like, you know, one guy in a front office is like, yeah, we would have fired his ass if we lost that game seven. Like, you know, it kind of like, it's like the guy who was about to get in a fight at a club and it gets broken up. He's like, yeah, I would have dropped it. Like, okay. You know, we don't know because we never went down that path, but that sounds really good. Especially, and it reads well on Chris.
I so would have punched that guy. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Take care. Doug Gottlieb, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show, CBS Sports Radio, college basketball analyst for CBS. Hold on. Dan Schulman, next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is 18 degrees. We'll see a high today of 26, showers and thunder showers. Jays win yesterday. Russell Martin with two home runs.
Yeah.
Martin, two home runs. Sorry. I haven't said that in almost a year. Here's some good news. They go again today. Jays Yankees, 4 p.m. And Dan Schulman standing by to discuss that and the Raptors' 38-point loss yesterday in Cleveland at the Q at the hands of LeBron James and themselves, really.
We just talked about the Jays, the Raptors.
Well, they're going to be okay. They're going to go seven, and all bets are off in the seventh game. All bets are off.
I want to believe you.
Well, believe it.
Okay.
No one believed it when they came home 0-2. That they'd have a sniff. Then they win game three and four. Then they go into Cleveland, and it was close for like four, like maybe when they, 5 minutes.
When they tipped the ball off at the beginning of the game, it was tight.
Tight. Well, it's close for 4 minutes.
And that was it. That was downhill.
And you put together, you know how long a quarter is, right? It's 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you put together three of those four-minute periods inside one quarter. It's tight.
Yeah.
And then you do it again and again and again. It's anybody's game.
Hey, you joke, but that 9-3 run the Raptors put together early first quarter. That
was Valanciunas nice. In the game yeah. where he hit that nice jumper from the
I'm not key. Joking. I'm telling you. I'm not joking.
Down 4 points.
I'm the guy that's full yeah. of belief.
You were only down. It was 2016. Great moment. That was the highlight.
That was the highlight of the game.
When you're only down 10.
With 4 minutes left in the first
quarter. It is fine. They're going to be fine. And we'll ask Dan Schulman. He'll say the same thing, I think. 8:35. Quickly, though, here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean. This update is brought to you by John Deere. Yeah, you talked about it. Cleveland all over the Raptors last night in Game 5, 116-78. Game 6 goes down tomorrow night at the ACC, 8:30. Russ Martin hit a pair of dingers as the Blue Jays thumped the Yankees 8-4 in the Bronx. J-Hap on the mound this afternoon in the series finale, 4 o'clock right here. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the Sportsnet app. Stanley Cup playoffs. Sharks on their way to the final. They beat the Blues in Game 6 of the West Final 5-2. Penguins and Lightning Game 7 of the East Final tonight, 8 o'clock on the CBC. And the Marlies now down 0-3 in the AHL's Eastern Conference Final. Hershey whipped them at Rico 8-2.
Thank you, sir. It is 8:35. Welcome to the program from Sportsnet and ESPN. Called the game last night in New York. Mr. Dan Schulman. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Yes, it is. It was very, very, very nice to see Russell Martin hit a couple of home runs last night.
It really was. And he'd been talking and saying all the right things about feeling better in batting practice and feeling that it's coming. And they'd been working with him on a mechanical adjustment with his front foot and so on and so forth. But until you do it in a game, it doesn't really amount to that much. And it was really nice. And my favorite thing was the second home run was to right field, and he's always been a great opposite field hitter. And then in his last at bat, he hit the ball 385 feet, almost to the fence in right center. He was about 6-7 feet from a three-home run game. And they need some length in this lineup. They can't just have Saunders and Smoke or whoever's hot, a couple of guys carrying them. So, for Martin to hit two home runs, Goins to have the big two-run double, that was really big.
Yeah, it is. It's the reason why we're all still holding our breath with this team. Seeing Devin Travis get out there was really nice. That was sort of an early, I guess, move because Tulowitzki's hurt. His quad was injured the night before. So they kind of had to. If they didn't have to go get Devin Travis, they wouldn't have. And Greg Zahn said something before the game with Jamie Campbell where he said, hey, listen, this is sort of an affront to Darwin Barney. Do you agree, or do you think, hey, you know what, all hands on deck, we need to play some desperate baseball, so let's see if this guy can be what he was in month one and a half with his team last year?
That's what I think they're looking at. I think they're looking for a spark, and sometimes if something's broken, you got to try to fix it, and, how do they... There are certain guys they just can't or won't take out of the lineup. And second base, they view as a position where the job's kind of wide open right now. And I understand what Greg is saying. Barney's played well. I mean, he's hitting 300. He's doing well. And at some point, they've got to figure out this logjam at second base. But I think they are... there's a little bit of desperation, so let's see if Travis can be the spark that he was last year. I think there's some curiosity because he's got some power about whether he can supply the kind of power that he did last year. And it's kind of unfortunate for Barney, but it's with Travis, Barney, and Goins, I don't think everybody, there's not room for everybody. Once Tulowitzki comes back, there's not room for everybody. They're only carrying 11 pitchers right now. I think they're going to go back to 12 as soon as Tulowitzki gets healthy. And somebody, it could be Goins, it could be Barney, could be in jeopardy of getting sent down. I mean, it's one thing for Barney to sit on the bench. What about if he gets sent back down to the minors because they want to keep Goins because he's a left-handed hitter and he can play shortstop better than any of the other utility guys if Tulowitzki needs a day. They're going to have a tough decision to make in the next few days.
So what do you think happens now? We watched, and I don't know if you can point to anything and say it's a breakout or it's a turnaround and things are okay now. But like I said before, holding our breath, Goins got a hit last night. That was a big two-run double in the fourth inning. They loaded the bases a couple of times before they broke through in the first and the third inning. Or not loaded the bases. A couple of guys on with one and none out. And still have a hard time early with runners in scoring position. But what happens now when you see a guy like Russell Martin hit a couple of home runs? Goins hit one.
Yeah, you'd like to think there's a carryover, but I'm not sure we're at that point with any individual player or the team where we can say that. I mean, they changed the lineup in Minnesota, and they had one good offensive game there. They scored 9 runs there, and then they didn't score a whole lot the last couple of games. They didn't score in the first game of this series at all, then they scored 8 last night. There's no way to know from game to game. I don't think there's any way to know. So, last night it's Martin and Saunders and Goins, and today it could be the same 3 guys or 3 different guys or all 9 of them or nobody at all. There's absolutely no way to know. They're facing CC Sabathia, who's been throwing pretty well. Now, last year they demolished lefties, so maybe there's a little bit of a comfort zone for them to get a chance to face a left-hander today. But I don't think, Dean, there's any way to say they're out of the woods on this thing yet. I think it's far too soon for that.
Dan, we saw Marco Estrada pitch another solid game last night, and along with Jay Happ's season. Are we not giving enough credit to this new management team for signing those guys to those contracts because they were both free agents?
I think so, because, you know, they were so short on pitching. I mean, that's one reason why they brought back R.A. Dickey. They just didn't know what they had. They were pretty sure Price wasn't going to be back. Everybody was pretty sure Price wasn't going to be back. And Estrada was a free agent. Happ obviously wasn't on the radar at that point in time. And they looked around and said, holy smokes, there's not much of a rotation here. So, you know, Estrada earned it with the year that he had last year. And I'm continually amazed at the stuff that he does, throwing an 89-mile-an-hour fastball, and I know velocity can be overrated, but the guy's a wizard out there. He really is, with the, you know, the soft contact he gets and getting out of jams, you know, getting in and out of trouble. He's really something else. The Happ contract was a bit of a risk because it was based on 11 phenomenal starts with Pittsburgh after he was acquired from Seattle at the trade deadline last year, and it's turned into a bargain. There are some guys out there who were signed to bigger, longer deals in the offseason who aren't having half the season that Jay Happ is, and yeah, where would they be without those two guys right now? Who would have guessed back in spring training that starting pitching would be the strength of the team? But it has been. It's not even close. Their rotation's been as good as anybody in the American League, pretty much.
Dan, yesterday, another thing happened that I thought was very interesting, specifically for this franchise and where it's based. Michael Saunders, Canadian, Russell Martin, Canadian, both home runs. Two Canadian guys, first time it's ever happened for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's a nice little side story, is it not?
I think it's really cool, to be honest with you. I think it's great. You know, you want the 25 best guys on the team that you can have on the team. But the fact that two of them are Canadians, and not bit players too, you know, significant players, I think is really cool. The first time ever two Canadians homer in the same inning in Major League history. And I found out during the game it was the first time ever that two Canadians has homered for the Blue Jays. But only it's only happened with one other pair of players, and that's Justin Morneau and Corey Koski, who did it a few times for the Minnesota Twins. It's very rare, to be honest with you, where you even have two Canadians on a major league team. And I think it's great that the Blue Jays, not that they've gone out of their way to do it, but that it's worked out that they have a couple of Canadians on the team. We're all Canadian, and whether you're in St. John's or Victoria or anywhere in between, we all wear the flag quite a bit. And I think it's really cool. And you could see in the post-game interviews, especially Martin had a big smile on his face talking about it. It's, you know, it's probably less of a cool thing for them than it is for your, you know, Joe Sixpack Canadian. But I thought it was a really interesting note.
Dan, was it interesting when the Blue Jays were up four runs in the bottom of the ninth inning and John Gibbons goes right to the hammer and brings in Osuna just to make sure he can nail down this the victory last
night?
Yeah.
It was, because that's John Gibbons saying, quote, we need a win. And, you know, I thought he might leave Biagini. Biagini was so good in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
I thought he might leave Biagini in to pitch the ninth because he had looked good. And if he can get through the ninth, and there was no reason to suspect he couldn't, then you don't need Osuna at all. Now, I know there were some lefties and switch hitters coming up, and that's why he went to Jurado. But Biagini's probably out of the mix today because now he's pitched two games in a row. So why not give him that second inning last night? Jurado comes in, and you knew if he got in any kind of trouble, he would go right to Osuna because they just could not afford to let that one slip away. The good news is Osuna only threw, I think it was 11 pitches, so he should be obviously okay today if they have a save situation today. But boy, it's tough running a team when you got a great closer, a Rule 5 rookie you're pretty confident in, and at times you don't know what else you have. I mean, yeah, it's for a manager, it's really tough running a ball game when your bullpen is giving you indigestion as much as the Blue Jays bullpen has. But I like that he went to Osuna. I think it's a shame he had to do that, but I like that he went to him as early as he did.
It's funny seeing him hair trigger with Osuna too. He's like, you know what? I'm not taking any chances. This season has not been kind in our bullpen. Yeah. Let's just try and button this down. And you point out only 11 pitches, but nine of them for strikes. You know, he is a tremendous talent to watch.
He's 21, and he's 21 years old. I think he's the third youngest player in baseball. He was the youngest player, as you guys know, for a lot of the season last year. And I think he's the third youngest player in baseball right now. This guy is a find. I would give him, you know, I would be talking contract with him right now. I would not be considering moving him to the rotation. You know, whether Hutchison eventually starts or Biagini eventually starts or whatever, and you got enough, it looks like you got enough starting pitching for this year and beyond. I would say to Roberto Osuna, we love you. We love what you do. Let's give you some financial security. You're four and a half years away from free agency. You're a couple years away from arbitration. Let's help you take care of your family and sign on the dotted line. Like, let's put this guy in a comfort zone. The stuff is great. The poise is great. The maturity is great. 21 years old. I don't think any of us want to remember what we were doing at 21, but we weren't doing it as well as Roberto Osuna's doing it.
I physically cannot remember when I was 21 for a million different reasons.
Congratulations on that.
Dan, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Real quick, we got about 20 seconds. I don't know if you saw the Raptor game last night, but if you lose by 38, is there hope in game 6?
Didn't see any of it, obviously, doing the Jays game. But, yeah, I think there's hope. The key is even if they win 6, then can they win 7? And saw some good quotes from Scola. You just got to boil it down to one game, then a half, then a quarter, then a three-minute segment. But they got a big job ahead of them. I'm sure the Cavaliers are coming in pretty confident for game 6.
We'll watch for you tonight. This afternoon. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Take care. Dan Schulman, Jays Yankees, today, 4 p.m. Sports at 590, the Fan at Sports at Television. Him and Buck doing the game tonight.
That's my man Scola, too.
Brunt, Blair. Next, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now back to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is 18 degrees right now. I'll see a high today of 26. We've got showers, thunder showers later on today, but that's what it said yesterday, so whatever. Don't forget, Jays Yankees right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet Television. That is at 4 p.m. We also have a Game 7. A Game 7. Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, 8 p.m. on CBC. Find out who gets to play the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup Final. Words I never thought I'd say.
Go Lightning.
San Jose Sharks, Stanley Cup Final.
Nah. San Jose, Tampa.
Go Pittsburgh. I want to see Kessel hoist that sucker.
No.
And there's Phil Kessel hoisting the Stanley Cup in James Reimer's faith.
It smells good in here.
Thank you. Jeff Blair, ladies
Who's
and
wearing
gentlemen.
It? Who's wearing that stuff? It's like Eau de Serb or something like that, right?
Mm. No? That's probably me. How are you?
It's got to be Russick.
Nope, it's me.
I'm always clean.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
It smells good. What? Here's the question.
The deodorant's
what quarter?
Me.
Normally it smells like old breakfast and sausage and stuff.
That's Eau de George.
Eau de George.
What quarter? We only have about a minute max, minute and a half.
All right. Why? We don't have to have my show. We can just keep your show going for a while.
I don't think so. I'm going home. What quarter? No.
Sorry. Going, no. Spit it out.
What quarter did you turn the basketball game off last night?
Well, I could say that I watched a half, but the fact of the matter is I watched about 99% of the Blue Jays game and flipped back a couple of times, and I didn't watch much. I'll be honest.
The full opening analysis quarter. Straight ahead on the Jeff Blair show. The
opening I mean, it was over. It was a blowout. And basketball, man, basketball blowouts are the worst. They just are.
Whistle fest at the end of the game. Ugh. ISO ball guys heaving up hero shots.
Yeah, a lot of guys you don't need to see doing stuff.
I was really intrigued to see what DeLon Wright would offer late in the fourth.
Yeah, I wasn't.
What do you got coming up on the show?
We're going to be joined by Eric Smith out of the Gate, or Paul Jones, one of the two. I always get them confused.
I'll tell you the major difference between both of them in just a second.
Yeah. No. And we will be joined by... Shai Davidi and Ren Lavoie will be along as well. So we'll have all the sports. Go have hoops. We'll have a little... Oh, and Brent and I are going to talk about DeMar... Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph's excellent advancer.
Is it a story or non-story?
Absolutely a story.
What does Brunt think?
He doesn't think it's a story.
Me neither.
I would have blown the crap out of that puppy. Doesn't explain.
Yeah, but you're a new you wrote for a daily. That's what people do. Well, they go and grab different things and throw them in front of you to see if you buy the paper.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, newspaper buying is a habit. It doesn't matter what you have in the front of the paper.
You want to click
same
through?
Same number of papers are going to be sold.
You want to click through?
It's more of the case online.
Yep.
But newspaper buying itself is it's a great story. Does it explain why they lost? Probably not, but I don't know if I'd want my guys gambling before a playoff game.
We got to go. Great to see you. Jeff Blair, Stephen Brunt next. See you tomorrow. Bye.